if God is truly this loving God? Well, that's kind of where I go back to. I get to thinking, God is all of that. Man is the one who brought a lot of this into the world. It was man's failure that changed things. God tempts no man. We know that from James we just read a while ago. So a lot of this is man-made. It's brought in. Bernice.
It's not like you're in trouble as we think of the word trouble in the English, but it's the chaos that comes with this life in this world.
Okay, yeah. In this world, a world that is different, that has changed. When God put man out of the garden, He had man set up. He had a one-on-one relationship with man. Things were completely different. And then sin came in. I often think about, we used this the last quarter when we talked about it, and it comes back to your mind when you start thinking about these things. But when God put man out, man had access to eternal life even when he was in the garden. Death came to man after he was put out. Because one of the things that the archangel had to do was to stand guard at the east gate to keep him from man from coming back in. Because what did God say about it? He said, lest he comes back in and eats from the tree of life and lives forever. So man changed his world by ushering sin in. And we still do today. We can't point fingers. We all fall. We all sin, even ourselves. But it was not by God's original design. Another form that we have to think about, 2 Timothy 3:12, another form of adversity that comes into our lives. 2 Timothy 3:12 there, he talks about, indeed all that desire to live godly, they're going to face these problems and these persecutions, mainly because of their faith. Yes, it says, 3:12, 2 Timothy. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We've talked about persecution. We've talked about trials and tribulations that come upon us by our sin. Starts adding up. We're going to face all kinds of problems and trials. Some that's wrote down here. Physical health. Loss of jobs. Financial reverses. Emotional problems. Family problems. Spiritual problems. Relationship problems. We can't live in this life and not have to deal with these things. Look at Romans 8, 20 through 23. It says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, grown without ourselves within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We've got something much better to look forward to. But this world's not going to be a place that's all roses, milk and honey. We've got a lot of things that we have to deal with. I take solace, though, and when I looked into this, and a lot of comfort in knowing that the majority of the problems that the world faces today that we can look at, and it's simply ungodliness. So we can miss out, we can miss the majority of all the things that go on in life. But we thought about all these different trials that we suffer, the different types. Some come with no reason at all. I mean, look at the innocent people who die at the hands of just crazy, just silliness, godless living for no reason, totally innocent, you know, that have nothing to do with anything and that die, you know. That's something that those families have to deal with. They have to think about that and come to God. And you think about when you don't know God, when you don't know what we're talking about, and you don't understand His loving favor, you don't understand how man changed the world into what it is. It was not God's original design. It starts making sense to us. Lord.
You know, everyone faces adversities in this life. Mm-hmm. But when we do, we have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. We can wallow under it and say, oh me, poor me, nobody knows what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Or we can let that inner joy come out and know that we have in Christ.
Right.
You know, and we can show it. That's what pulls us through so many things.
Right.
And sometimes we see people say, well, they don't face adversity, but it's how they handle what they face.
Right.
Because of the inner joy that we have.
Right.
And I think that pulls us through on a lot of things.
You're exactly right. Understand. Good point. And that, you know, it just adds to what we said a while ago about your heart goes out to the world when they suffer these things and they ask these questions. Because they can't find the answers unless they go to God's Word, unless they know God, unless they know this hope that we have, unless they know what we have, they can't deal with these things. What a blessing that we have, that God has provided us everything that we need. Yet the world bounces around like a pinball, hunting and searching for answers, going everywhere, but to the one who created them and made them. Yes?
I think, Mark, I seen something the other day that kind of ties in a little bit. We did a study, and like each generation, as it gets younger and younger, there's more depression and more anxiety. And I think some of that is the older people tend to be more relying on God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's exactly right. Well, if we're properly taught by God, this is just an introduction, by the way, but if we can avoid some of the trials of life if we allow ourselves to be properly taught, instructed, or guided by God's Word. He gets us around a lot of this. This immorality, all these things that causes these struggles in life. We talked about the people who suffer innocently. Look at the decline that we see in society right now, the decline in morality that we see, and look what it feeds. It's really noticeable in the incubators of the big cities. And you see these lawless, violent atmospheres that are created from this thing. Think about the innocent ones that are there. This immorality is just a catalyst to feed all these problems that we suffer for. Problems that God will get us around and guide us around that we don't have to worry about if we'll just obey. Think about the youth and all that can be avoided, the heartaches and all that stuff that comes from the drugs, the alcohol that they're faced with at an earlier and earlier and earlier age, the promiscuity, the outright immorality, all the things. It's not like it was when I was young. It's not like that now. Not only is it pushed upon them from the dark shadows of the ones that we could figure out that were not godly or evil, but now it's taught to them by people of authority. They're at such a disadvantage. God's Word is the only answer that we got to this. 1 Corinthians 15:33 comes to mind. Evil companions or evil company is going to corrupt good morals. It even makes that so much more clear. You could get by in times past, but now, these days, it almost seems to me that a youngster or someone who's in school cannot get by. They better be looking for good company, not just any company. They better be looking for God's people to cling to, because they're going to get guided away so fast. Corinthians 6, 14 through, I think it's 18 or something. Do not be unequally yoked. What a disadvantage you're at. I mean, when you're having to be yoked or put with this, such a disadvantage. Biggest challenge that we have is the willingness to listen to God, to parents, to friends that are concerned for our welfare. It's not always easy to do, is it? Sometimes the answers are right there and we just can't listen. Proverbs 1, we won't read it all because it's quite a lengthy reading, but Proverbs 1, 20 through 29, it's not that long, we'll read it. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour my spirit out on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me diligently, but they won't find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. We have lost the fear of God in this country. And when we do that, like Brother Ron pointed out, it's clear we've got one way to go. And God says, the nation who does not fear me will be destroyed. Just like man changed the world and brought all the trial, the tribulation, the death, and everything else into the world, the same thing is going to happen here with our country. If we refuse God, if we refuse to seek Him, refuse to go by Him, we're going to change our world again. God will see to it will be destroyed. That's a rule that God has. Or at least it will change. It won't be in the same fashion that we know. Question. So when trials come into my life, how can I successfully deal with such? How can you trust in God in the midst of overwhelming calamity and tragedy and all this? God's promised me that I will not be tempted above which we're able. We read that a while ago, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But He didn't promise that we would not be sorely tried. There's going to be trials that come. We're going to suffer hardship just for being in a country as it continues to decline and gets worse and worse. Our problems and our persecutions and our problems are going to be magnified as it gets worse. So we need to be strengthening up. We need to be digging our heels in. We need to be getting ready. God does not tempt, James 1:13. Need to know that. God does not tempt us. An example to look at. James, when he was writing, James was writing to Christians. And if you think about the Christians at the time James was writing, this was a time when Christians needed encouragement. It was a bad time. The persecutions, the early things that were going on, things that we've never had to endure or deal with. And he wrote them as they were trying to endure these trials, trying to encourage them. And he used in James 5 and 11 there, he used the example of Job. He says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. speaking of these things that we've talked about, persecutions and whatnot, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. That's encouraging. James found that necessary to encourage those early Christians that he was writing to in a time when they needed it, when they would have been asking questions, you know, about why things have happened. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. I had a note wrote out here. It says, in spite of the opinion of those who know not the Lord. And I remember now why I wrote that. I'm early. I wasn't ready to start tonight. But I remember why I jotted that down. It's because you hear these people that make that argument all the time. There can't be a loving God. A loving God wouldn't let this child be sick. A loving God wouldn't do this. A loving God wouldn't do that. But James 5:11 makes that point, that God is full of compassion and He is merciful. God didn't bring these things into the world. Man brought them into the world. And He is compassionate and He is merciful. And Satan does the tempting. Quit blaming God. What better place to turn for help and encouragement than the Word of God? God not only tells us how to live, but as well how to overcome the trials of life and be victorious. I mean, after all, God doesn't want us afraid. He doesn't want us cowed. He doesn't want us beat down. We are the ones that have everything to be happy about. We're the ones that have the hope. We're the ones that have the encouragement. He wants to see us victorious, especially when it comes to our trials and our tribulations, because we've got something the rest of the world does not have. And we want to get it to them. We want to try to help all that we can help and win every soul that we can, because they need this. We all do. Michael.
And James, where you are at.
Yes.
Verse 16. We have failed this ever since I've been born. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. A lot of our problems, we don't go to each other and talk to each other, bring in the brotherly love out of it. We want to act like we're pure and not let somebody know what our problem is. Then we're telling our sin.
Yeah.
Well, we should tell our sins to let the young kids know, yes, we failed at this.
Yeah.
This is what you can do. Confessing to each other our sins is a way of gaining knowledge on how to deal with it, and it helps with brotherly love that we should be conspiring to go to.
When we don't do that, we're missing out on a big opportunity to get help and to be encouragement, like you said, and to help for others. You're right. That does help. That helps both ways. It helps both the one who confesses and the ones who hear the confession. God wants His people to be victorious in life in spite of being the victims of wicked and cruel people, because, you know, sometimes we are. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's how we overcome. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We have our faith. That's what we have to get over. Flip back to John. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This is nothing new. We're not facing anything different today than what was faced in the very beginning when the church was first founded in Acts 2. We're facing the same things, just in a different time and by different means. Job is a perfect example of one who was overwhelmed with trials and suffering, but was able to retain his integrity and trust in God. When I think about Job, one verse keeps coming back to my mind, and we'll come back several times to it, or be mentioned anyway, and that's Job 13, verse 15, where he says, you know, even in death, I will trust God. He's not going to waver. He's not going to give in. And God knew that. When Satan came to God, he knew when he said that to Satan. When God said that to Satan, he knew Job's resolve. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's the kind of faith that we've got to have. I think it would help if we took a little closer look at Job's character, and we may do that the next lesson. We'll just start there. That gives us a good place to go through. Take a look at Job, because there's so many things, if we slow down and break it down, that we can learn from Job, good things and bad things, I guess, but will help us to understand, because Job's character, we see how Job deals with it. We see how friends dealt with Job. We see how family dealt with Job. We see all these things that we can make applications to this quarter. So let's start next week, take some time and look at the example of Job. This is not going to be a study of Job, but there's too many good things there. God gave it to us for a reason, and we can find a lot of good applications. Is there anything I need to add? All right.